Me and Johnny and Red Hamilton got away from the little Bohemia shootout through the kitchen windows in the back, making our way down to the side of the lake while Purvis and his idiots were still pouring lead into the front of the lodge. Boy, I hope the crowd who owned the place had insurance. The first car we found belonged to an elderly couple, and it wouldn't start. We had better luck with the second, a Ford coupe that belonged to a carpenter just up the road. Johnny put him in the driver's seat, and he chauffeured us a good way back towards St. Paul. Then he was invited to step out, which he did quite willingly, and I took over. We crossed the Mississippi about 20 miles downriver from St. Paul, and although the local cops were all on the lookout for what they called the Dillinger Gang, I think we would have been all right if Jack Hamilton hadn't lost his hat while we were making our escape. He was sweating like a pig. He always did when he was nervous. And when he found a rag on the back seat of the carpenter's car, he whipped it into kind of a rope, tied it around his head, engine style. That was what caught the eye of those cops parked on the Wisconsin side of the spiral bridge as we went past them, and they came after us for a closer look. That might have been the end of us right there, but Johnny always had the devil's own luck. Until the Biograph, anyway. He put a cattle truck right between us and them, and the cops couldn't get past. "Step on it, Homer," Johnny shouts at me. He was in the back seat, and in rare good humor from the sound of him. "Make it walk." I did, too, and we left the cattle truck in the dust, and those cops stuck behind it. "So long, Mother. All right when I get work. Ha!" Once it seemed we had him buried for good, Jack says, "Slow down, you damn fool. No sense getting picked up for speeding." So I slowed down to 35, and for a quarter of an hour, everything was fine. We were talking about Little Bohemia and whether or not Lester, the one they were always calling Babyface, might have gotten away, when all at once there's a crackle of rifles and pistols and the sound of bullets whining off the pavement. It was those hick cops from the bridge. They'd caught up, creeping easy the last 90 or 100 yards, and were close enough now to be shooting for the tires. They probably weren't entirely sure even then that it was Dillinger. They weren't in doubt for long. Johnny broke out the back window of the Ford with the butt of his pistol and started shooting back. I mashed the gas pedal again, got that Ford all the way up to 50, which was a tearing rush in those days. There wasn't much traffic, but what there was, I passed any way I could. On the left, on the right, in the ditch. Twice I felt the driver's side wheels go up, but we never tipped. We sure dusted them that day. We paid a price, though. There were these spink, spink, spink noises. A crack ran up the windshield, and a slug, pretty sure it was a .45, fell dead on the dashboard. Looked like a big black elm beetle. Jack Hamilton was in the passenger seat. He got his Tommy gun off the floor, was checking the drum, ready to lean out the window, I imagine, when there came another one of those spink noises. Jack says, "Oh, bastard, I'm hit!" That bullet had to have come in the busted back window, and how it missed Johnny to hit Jack, I don't know. "Are you all right?" I shouted. I was hung over the wheel like a monkey and driving like one, too, very likely. I passed a Coulee dairy truck on the right, honking the whole time, yelling for that white coat farmer son of a bitch to get out of my road. "Jack, you all right?" "I'm okay, I'm fine," he says, and shoves himself and his subgun out the window almost to his waist. Only at first the milk truck was in the way. I could see the driver in the mirror gawking at us from under his little hat. And when I looked over at Jack as he leaned out, I could see a hole, just as neat and round as something you'd draw with a pencil, in the middle of his overcoat. There was no blood, just that little black hole. "Never mind, Jack, just run the son of a bitch," Johnny shouted at me. I ran it. We gained maybe half a mile on the milk truck, and the cops stuck behind it the whole time because there was a guardrail on one side and a line of slowpoke traffic coming the other way. We turned hard around a sharp curve, and for a moment, both the milk truck and the police car were out of sight. Suddenly, on the right, there was a gravel road all grown in with weeds. "In there," Jack gasps, falling back into the passenger seat, but I was already turning in.